don't know what you like sexually, it can be impossible to explain to someone what you do want. Makes sense, right? They're not mind readers. They don't know. And your vagina is like a snowflake. Everyone is different. So every time someone's with you, they have to learn your body as well. So masturbate, use a mirror, do some self-exploration, and actually take a look at your body parts so you can explain to a partner what feels good. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Is there a vulva owner in your life that you'd love to treat by giving them the best oral sex of their life? Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to the right episode. It doesn't matter if you're with someone or not, but you probably just want to brush up on your oral sex skills for the future, because never a bad time to sharpen your pleasure techniques. And I did a blowjob episode earlier this month, and I did promise you that you'd get an oral sex show specifically for vulvas, and well, here it is. So in today's episode, I'm taking you through everything you need to know to deliver A-plus oral sex, specifically for vulvas. I'm teaching how to tease, how to use your tongue, how to perform the Kiven method, how to stimulate the famous G-spot. Plus, I take your questions. Love getting your questions. Like what to do if you desperately want oral, but your partner just isn't too keen on giving it. How to let go of potential insecurities and truly, truly enjoy receiving. You know, the art of receiving can be just as challenging as the art of giving. What to do when your hygiene concerns are getting in the way of pleasure. How to reduce discomfort while giving. Sometimes we get uncomfortable. We get into weird positions that hurt us. Plus, how to give your partner pointers on what you like and tips for a squirting experience. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? Well, I make an intention in every episode, and my intention is to make sure that you get all the basics of vulva pleasure in one place, in one episode, so you can orally please the vulva in your life. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen. My article, The Most Common Problems for Vulvas, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. Questions? You want to ask me a question? Leave me your question, sexwithemily.com/askemily. Or you can call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Oh, and it's totally cool to change your name if you want to remain anonymous. I get a lot of oral sex questions from you, which I love. But this is a vulva show, so we're going to kick off today's episode with some education. And remember, when we're thinking about sex, we always focus on penetration as being the main event, but oral sex can also be the main event. In fact, I think it should be. Once we learn to really get comfortable with giving and receiving oral sex, I think you're going to find you have a lot more time for it, and you might just make it the whole evening's activity. There are some differences in how penis and vulva owners typically prefer to receive oral sex. Now, this is a generalization, and I avoid these, but just for purposes of this show, vulva owners usually like oral sex to build in intensity, whereas penis owners often enjoy a high sensation from the get-go, meaning like, we don't want you to go right for our clitoris. We don't want you to dive in with your pointy tongue going right in there and licking away. We want to make out. We want to build. We want to get aroused. We want to get turned on. We want you to go slow rather than going right for the main event. Whereas penis owners, they've got the erection. It's okay if you grab it and you start going. Okay? Again, we're all different, but that is the generalization that I think is going to help you in this lesson. There's also vulva owners who are super sensitive, and oral sex can actually be uncomfortable for them, so much so that they tend not to enjoy it. Sometimes it's because their clitoris is closer to their vaginal opening, which means that they have multiple orgasms during penetration. Again, this is rare, but the vulva owners where this happens, where they have lots of sensitivity, they typically oral sex just doesn't feel good for them. It's too sensitive and it's actually become painful. So let's do this. Let me just start with some steps to top shelf your vulva pleasure, going from teasing to the tongue to the G-spot, and then I'm going to get into your questions. So start with a tease and a warm-up. This is your first step. Did you know there are over 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris? Twice that of a circumcised penis. Circumcised penis has 4,000 nerve endings. So you've got all these amazing nerve endings, which is why we love to talk about all the ways to pleasure the vulva and the clitoris. Because the clitoris, remember, is not just that bulb, that little nub that you can see, but it extends behind. It has legs. It runs behind the labia internally. There's a lot of magic there. But listen, instead of diving right in, start with massaging your partner's thighs, inner thighs, kisses on their vulva adjacent regions. You can start kissing their neck, their lips, go slowly down their body. And then when you get there, it's the thighs, the inner thighs. Go slow, okay? Now, this is a very sensitive piece of sexual real estate, and it's very easy to desensitize and turn it off for business if you go too fast or too hard. It can feel really wonderful to rub your partner's vulva over their underwear or even over their clothes. Because again, remember those nerve endings? So a piece of fabric leaving your underwear on can be super, super stimulating. Using your hands is a great place to start because remember, oral sex isn't just about your tongue and your mouth because it gets tired after a while. Use everything that you got at your disposal. It also allows for immediate feedback. Like they can put their hand over your hand and encourage more pressure. They can kind of guide you. So start with your hands. Then you can start with your fingers, you know, using some fingers. Once you're pleasing the vulva, a lot of people start with external and licking the vulva and the labia. And some vulva owners really do like a finger. They do want some digital stimulation, but not all. But typically it comes after you've already done some licking and some stimulating, and then you put a finger inside. And you can kind of pulse it up and down slowly. You can even add another finger or a third finger. It all depends on your partner, and you want to listen for feedback. Okay? You want to listen to pleasure, moaning, heavy breathing. Ask your partner if they like a finger. Sometimes I want a finger, sometimes I don't. Depends on the day. So it changes every time. But just remember, this is a tease and a warm-up. Go slow and pay attention. Next, bring on the tongue. We didn't even bring on the tongue yet. Now we are. So if your partner's lying down, you can continue with the fingers and then introduce your tongue on the clitoris. This is a great time for the Kiven method. We've got a great blog on our site. You can check out the Kiven method. I've talked about it before, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up again on this episode. So you want to approach the vulva from the side. So you're lying perpendicular to the receiver rather than between their legs. So once you're in this position, you want to use your index finger and your thumb to raise the clitoris up and keep it in place while you're licking. Now, sometimes this position might reveal two small bumps on either side of the clitoral hood, kind of known as K-points. And if you feel them, use your tongue to gently sweep across these areas. But don't stress if you can't find them because not all bodies have these K-points. Then feel free to use your tongue in different ways, but mostly it's a back and forth. So we're talking like thigh to thigh rather than like up and down from like toes towards head. Okay, you see what I'm saying? We're going side to side. You're sweeping over all these areas because there's so many nerve endings and you can hit them a lot more in this position. Now, if they say don't stop, maybe they're close to orgasming. I have to tell you that repetitive movements are really, really helpful to facilitate orgasm, especially when someone's close. Again, if you want more info on the Kiven method, check out the article on my site, Mind Blowing Oral Sex in 5 Methods, the Kiven method. We'll also put it in the show notes. Now, here's another thing. You could also try face sitting. So whoever is doing this, if your partner's lying on the back and you're doing the face sitting, you just kind of sit on it. But know that it's more of a kneel than a sit. Your knees are forward. Maybe they're around your partner's head. And you're controlling the depth. You're controlling the motion. You actually are really in control in this position. And you can position yourself over your partner's mouth and their lips, you know, and their tongue and see what feels good. The receiver is more in control here. If you're the one receiving, you can put your hands on the headboard. That can help you maintain balance. So remember, if you're the one giving and your hands are free, so you can use them any way you like. You can grab their hips, you can use fingers. So this is a really fun position, and I think maybe there's some fear around it. You're like, I don't want to crush my partner. But remember, if you're using the headboard and it's more of a kneeling, you can sort of position yourself so you're not just plumping all your body weight down on your partner's face. So like, think of it like face kneeling. Then we got our final step. Find the famous G-spot or G-area. Many vulva owners are curious about the G-spot orgasms or the G-area, which I totally understand. Remember that clitoral orgasms are a lot more common. It's external, the clitoris. Usually we can have it by even when we're a kid, we're riding a bike, we're humping our stuffed animal, we're in the shower. Like, our clitoris is where a lot of the orgasms are happening. But the G-spot orgasm or the G-area, again, that can also lead to squirting and more intense full-bodied orgasms. And remember, it's easier to have a G-spot orgasm if you've already had a clitoral orgasm because the G-spot becomes more engorged and more sensitive. So try this. Insert a toy or finger into your vulva or your partner's vulva and do a come-hither motion, a come-here shape with your finger, curling it towards their belly. And that's when you're going to feel like a rough spot. And again, helpful after a clitoral orgasm to feel this area. And then you just start applying a pressure to it. Keep applying pressure with your finger. You can move it in little small circles. It's really up to your partner. And it helps your partner with the vulva to start maybe tensing and relaxing their pelvic floor muscles. That could also really help to facilitate an orgasm there. If you want to try a toy, great for G-spot stimulation, check out the shop page on my website, sexwithemily.com/shop. And just remember this, for many vulva owners, the G-spot's about halfway between the vaginal opening and the cervix. If your partner's getting close to orgasm and you are performing oral, they can kind of bear down with their pelvic floor muscles to encourage squirting and even orgasm. Now, G-spot stimulation is what's going to trigger that release of fluid. It's not pee, so let's not get tripped up on it. And this comes from the Skene's gland in the urethra. Now, you can squirt and not orgasm. You can orgasm and not squirt. They're not always related. I want you guys to remember that, okay? Final note, don't be afraid to, first off, look at your anatomy between your legs. You can do it with your phone. You can take a mirror. Get to know yourself. And if you're not really sure, Google anatomy pictures. Search for the clitoris, the G-spot, the cervix, the labia. Our partners should do it too. It's hot to know where you can find all these things. We also, of course, have tons of resources at sexwithemily.com. You can check out my article, Ask Emily, How Do I Go Down in a Vulva? Before we get into your questions, vulva owners, let's turn to you and give you some tips for receiving, shall we? I know that a lot of you get really nervous or even insecure receiving oral. So I want to reassure you that trust is a key element here. You're going to be able to relax and get into it because when you're with someone you fundamentally feel comfortable with, it's a lot easier to have pleasure and to let go and to relax and let someone please you and tease you. A lot of it is that we're in our heads and it's just so hard for us to feel anything because we're worried about our smell or how we look. So be with someone you trust is key. For a lot of us, receiving oral, it can be way more intimate than penetration. Don't you think? I mean, think about it. Someone's between your legs, tasting you, looking at you, which really tells me that we can all have a way more expansive definition of sex. Remember that fingers are a huge part of oral, as is the whole face. It doesn't just have to be the tongue. And then, you guys, let's talk about the time element here. It does take vulva owners a lot longer than the penis owners to climax. It's always been that way. So it feels like you're taking a while. Please don't feel bad. It's normal. I can't tell you how many times I've been receiving oral sex and I'm looking at the clock and it's like that blinking clock. I'm like, okay. I remember like my boyfriend's clock in college. It was like the numbers. I'm like, okay, now it's 3:12. Now it's 3:19. It's been 7 minutes. Oh, now it's been 10 minutes. Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. No, listen, you got to breathe. You got to relax. And if you're someone going down on a vulva owner, the best thing you can say is, babe, don't go anywhere. I've got all night. We need to be reassured that you're going to put in the time because it can take the majority of vulva owners to orgasm during oral anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes. So don't feel bad. It's normal, okay? Can you just play this for your friends? Can you put on a speaker's loud system? What if you knew all of this before today? How much better would your oral sex have been if you weren't so worried that you were taking so long or how you smelled and all those things? Okay, next, pain and sensitivity. Listen, a lot of you, oral sex is physically uncomfortable. Some of us are born with anatomy and nerve endings, and it just makes it way too sensitive. Those nerve endings are just going to prevent you from enjoying it, and that is fine. You find other ways to pleasure. It is okay. Let's talk about body image and insecurity. Oh, we're so worried how we smell, how we taste, how we look. Remember this. They are self-cleaning ovens. You don't need to douche. You can make sure you're hygienic, that you take a shower before, you wipe up before sex, go to the bathroom, use a washcloth. But our natural odors are beautiful and they're a turn-on and they're hot. Yes, you can do a finger check after you shower and make sure you don't have an infection, because that's when it starts to smell off. And remember this, you are what you eat. Your diet can impact how you taste. So always, no matter what, lots of veggies, greens, fruit, pineapple. Yes, pineapple can help. You're going to have to eat a lot of pineapple. It tastes like a pina colada, but it can't hurt. And if you're worried about how you look, can I just say this? Google something called the vulva gallery. You're going to see that there are so many different kinds of vulvas. They're like snowflakes. But the ones that you see in porn are really have makeup on them. They're cheating towards camera. They turn in a certain angle. They get tucked in. They are not like every vulva that you see. So just learn to love your vulva or like your vulva in all the ways you can experience pleasure, because there are so many of them. Okay. And remember lube. I believe that lube is great for every sexual situation, especially oral sex. Our clitoris is not going to lubricate itself. We're more likely to have orgasms. So find some lubes. We've got great articles at sexwithemily.com all about the lubes that we recommend and love. All right, everyone, on to your questions. This is from Clara, 46 in Virginia. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I'm a recent-ish widow and just dove back into the dating scene this past summer. Yay for timing, LOL. Your show has been a big help in navigating sex and communication. Anyway, have more of an observation than a question, but I've noticed way more men super into going down on me. All of them have been 40 plus, if that matters. I love it, and they have all been pretty amazing at it. So no complaints, but curious if this is something other women are experiencing. I haven't dated since the early 2000s before I got married, and either the guys I was with just weren't good at it or just didn't want to. It often felt more obligatory than enjoyable for them. This time around, it seems like their duty to be masterful at it and to tell me how much they want to do it. Anyway, just curious what you're hearing out in the field. Clara, I love this realization, and I have to say that there has been a cultural shift from vulva owners. They're definitely prioritizing their own pleasure. And I have noticed that with penis owners, there is more of an interest. Think about it. It wasn't until like 2006 that porn was readily available in our pocket, right? We got the smartphones. And so everyone started watching porn more often. And I think what I do love about porn is that they're showing a lot more oral sex on a vulva. So there's definitely more knowledge about it. There's more information on shows like this. And it really is a common turn-on for men. And I do think that something has shifted and they feel that it's less of a service and more mutually fulfilling. And this isn't going to be for every man. So I want to say that I've been with lovers in the past who they're hard, we're fooling around, and then they're like, oh, they go down on me and they lose their erection. Now, I believe that for these men, either they're in their head and they're worried that their erection's not going to come back, because that's a lot of men are like, I'm turned on. I got to go. We got to start penetration and I'm going to lose my erection. Or maybe they're not that into oral sex. So for some penis owners, it just doesn't turn them on. So what I just see as a culture here is that we're all recalibrating our attitudes towards oral sex and a vulva. I also have to say that when I was in my 20s, and if there was a penis owner who wanted to go down on me, I have to say that I was a lot less comfortable as well with my body. There was no vulva positive information out there. I was still under the belief that it was dirty or there was something wrong with it. I hadn't masturbated a lot at that time. So I do think that we can point to education across the board for vulva owners and penis owners, porn showing that there's more and more of it and that it can be pleasurable for both parties, and also just society changing and more information out there. So I say go for it. I love that you're in this new situation and you're being worshipped and adored and it feels good to you. So It's a great time to be single, alive, and getting oral sex is what I'm thinking. Thanks for your email, Clara. This is from Lexi, 21, in North Carolina. Hey, Dr. Emily, my girlfriend can't perform oral sex on me for very long. She says her tongue gets tired and starts to burn. We both really want oral to last longer because we're experimenting with multiple orgasms. Are there any tips you can use to make it easier on her tongue or to strengthen it? Thank you. Well, just remember this, that oral sex isn't all about the tongue. It's about using our hands. It's about using different parts of our mouth. It could be some sucking or a little bit of blowing. And so when you rely just on your tongue, that can start to hurt and it can be really, really intense. So again, using parts of your face or your mouth, using your hands or a toy. Toys can be a great add-on to give your tongue some break in between the licks. And what's the burning? I want to get back to her tongue gets tired and starts to burn. I want to make sure that there's nothing going on with her tongue. Any infections? I'm not sure what that's about. So hopefully it's not painful. She could also take different positions. Is she cramping her neck? Does she stay in one place? This is for everybody who performs oral sex. Sometimes we feel like it's so uncomfortable, but if you take a minute and get situated, you're like, I'm going to put something under my knees, or I'm actually going to have you could sit on her face. So remember, if you sit on her face, her neck can be more comfortable lying back. And really, face sitting is more of a face kneeling situation. So maybe where she's at now, she's really straining with her tongue. So I'd play around with some face sitting, different positions, using fingers, toys, hands, and seeing if that helps the situation, okay? Let me know how it goes. Thank you, Lexi. This is from Kylie, 31, in Pennsylvania. Hey, Dr. Emily. My husband and I have been married for 9 years. We have a wonderful relationship, great and open communication, and good sex. I mean, once we get going, I usually don't feel like having sex until we're a few minutes in. Side note here, that's common for many of us. Many of us need that warm up, the kissing, the build up to actually be in the mood for sex. Okay. I want to just normalize that. So one thing we consistently struggle with is that I do not like oral sex performed on me. I'm happy to go down on him, but I really don't want it for myself. The more I don't want it, the more he really wants it, and the more he asks for it, the angrier and stubborn I get. He feels like I'm withholding from him. I feel upset that he's obsessed with wanting to go down on me. I don't remember any trauma from childhood or any particular reason, but I've always felt like oral sex was gross. And when I do let him go down on me, I feel sick and dirty. I feel like I'm being raped because I don't want it. But I wonder if there's any advice for me to start liking it. I'd love to hear your advice. Thank you. All right, Kylie, thanks for your email. It's common that people have mixed feelings about receiving oral sex. Let's start with vulva owners, since you're a vulva owner. For some vulva owners, it just doesn't feel good to them. This is what I found. There's two camps of vulva owners when it comes to not wanting oral. The one camp is vulva owners who are really, their clitoris is really, really sensitive. And these vulva owners typically have multiple orgasms. They're very orgasmic, but they have it during penetration and their clitoris gets really sensitive. Second camp, like you, who feels like receiving oral is uncomfortable, either because you have a belief around it that it's like dirty or shameful or wrong, or grew up in a religious home, or one partner shamed you for it. Sometimes you can't even remember what happened, but you just have a belief. This is more in your mind than it's any physicality problem that's preventing you from actually receiving oral sex. Sounds like you're in that category because you said it feels like rape. Now, I want to reinforce this. You should not force yourself into any sex act to appease your partner. And I do not like that you feel that this is a rape experience. You want to get into something sexually because you actually want to do it. Okay? So what I'm also hearing from you, though, is that you want to do it. Your last question was, if there's any way, could I possibly start liking it? So let's get to the bottom for a minute of why you think you don't like it. When do you first remember it grossing you out? Was it something that you saw? Did somebody say something to you much? Were you sitting in, you know, high school and there were guys sitting around, or in college and there were guys sitting around going, oh God, it's gross. That's so dirty. Or did someone tell you that you smelled? You know, there's so many things that can happen. So figuring this out, what is it? And then journaling about it is so helpful to kind of write it out and say, this is what happened. And then doing the reverse of it, like, I deserve pleasure. I'm worthy of pleasure. My vagina is beautiful and it smells good. And I am deserving of oral pleasure. Reframing your beliefs around it. Maybe if you took a shower before with your partner, That could be something so you know that you're clean. I mean, the majority of us are clean. Remember, the vagina is a self-cleaning oven. We don't need douches. We don't need special products. We don't need any of that. It's only when we have an infection sometimes there can be an odor. It's really important to kind of think about it. Now, listen, you could also work around oral. It doesn't necessarily have to be he goes right for your clitoris. So another way is like your pelvic floor muscles are very powerful. Those are the muscles that are responsible for orgasm. You could pump your Kegel muscles that could start to allow you to feel more turned on. I do that during oral sex or during sex. I tense and relax the pelvic floor muscles that can kind of help you get more aroused, get turned on, get in the moment. And start to look at your vulva too. Look in the mirror. Get to know her. Like, what does she look like? What is she like? What kind of touch does she like? What feels comfortable? And this is something that you can do on your own during masturbation. If you feel like you are stressing out when it's happening, really start to breathe and relax into your body. You can bring in a simple breathwork practice that can actually help with orgasm. Like, it's like a 4-in-count breath, like breathe in for 4 and then breathe out for 4. That's really helping, like inhale, exhaling. I'm telling you, that really helps facilitate orgasm because sometimes when we're receiving something or we're in a sex act that just feels really uncomfortable or we're nervous about it or we have limiting beliefs around it, we tense up. But when we start to breathe, you'll realize that you'll start to move that sexual feeling through your body. Like picture yourself breathing into your pelvic floor. Flavored lubes are really fun. That might make you feel good. We love flavored lubes. We got some on our website. CBD, using some CBD lubes can also help you kind of relax if there's tension. I really think that it also helps to have your partner stimulating other zones of your body. Like maybe if they stimulate your nipples, that could make you feel good. You know, we don't have to go right for oral. Making sure that you are turned on and you're making out and you're ready to go. Maybe your partner slowly undresses you and then works his way down. Maybe he keeps your underwear on and starts to kind of stroke you over your vulva. That can feel really good as well. So just kind of knowing that you get to discover a new oral experience and what it feels like. I don't believe that your partner doesn't need to just go right there and say, now we're doing oral. So I'd be honest with your husband about what's going on and that you want to work on it. I would listen to this answer together and go slow and build up to a new relationship with your vulva because you deserve it. And I think you're going to get through it and you're going to love it. All right. Thanks for your email, Kylie. I'm going to take a quick break, but stick around. After a word from our sponsors, I'll be answering more of your questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. This is from Alexa. Hey, Dr. Emily, is it possible for the nerves in your clitoris to like die? The thought of getting oral sex is arousing, but when my fiance goes down, it just doesn't feel good as I thought it would. And we've talked about it and discussed him doing it in motions, but sometimes it's just not doing it. Also, sometimes my toy won't get the job done either. I feel like I'm trying too hard, help. All right, well, first, have you ever had, Alexa, an orgasm on your own? Have you masturbated and felt an orgasm? Because sometimes if we're not really sure what to expect, your partner's going down in you, you're just like, I'm not sure. Is it there yet? Is it there yet? So maybe you are trying too hard because you're not sure, like, oh, what does it feel like? Or maybe there's a mental block. Maybe you're like in your head thinking about it too much. And, you know, again, I'm going to tell everyone to breathe more. I'm going to tell everyone on this episode and every day if I can, just to breathe more. It's like inhale, exhale, 4 counts in, 4 counts out. You can do 4 counts in, 6 counts out. Breathing is going to help you get more tuned in with your body. So first I have to ask you, I don't know how it was before, but are you on any medications? Has anything changed? Is there any stress in your life? Any trauma? Because that can keep us from having orgasms and feeling in touch with our body. I definitely recommend using lube. You know that I think lube is so important. Your clitoris is not going to lubricate itself. So adding a few drops of lube, and then your fiance can start to take his hands and use a light touch. He can start to tease and build up and move towards your clitoris. Massage your inner thighs. Get you aroused. Again, touching over fabric and blowing, like using some lube and then blowing on it, like blowing on your vulva and then like using fingers. And it's your labia, your clitoris, that whole, all those areas getting used to sensations. It could be a tapping or a finger motion. Make sure that you're in shape too. Like, are you exercising? Is there blood flow to your clitoris? That's all important too. And if your vibrator isn't doing it, take a little break from the vibrator and just focus on the sensations. This is why I love mindful masturbation or some mutual masturbation where you're both focusing on your own pleasure. But I think that a lot of it has to do with sometimes our own personal blocks. And also that we're not turned on. Remember, if somebody goes right for your clitoris, it's going to hurt. If you're sitting there all day, you're at work and your partner comes home, they take your pants off and they go right down in you, they go right for the clitoris, that's not going to feel great. We need to warm it up. You know, there's a lot of nerve endings, but they're not all ready to go at once. This could definitely be a mental block. You might be thinking like, oh God, it's not happening yet. Is it going to happen? Am I going to have an orgasm? Last time it was really sensitive. This time it's not, you know? And so I think the mental blocks that we have, I mean, this is the good news for everybody, that a lot of our challenges in the bedroom have to do with our mental blocks, less than physical stuff. Yes, it could be medications or physiological. That is all true. But a lot of it is that we are mentally blocking ourselves from the O. We are like O blocking. And so the more you can share it with your partner, be vulnerable about the blocking, maybe that's happening, and then breathing and guiding your partner and guiding yourself and just saying like, it's going to happen when it happens. But remember, when we are in the present moment, truly, truly present, we can't be worried about the past. We can't be worried about the future. You're going to be present to all the sensations happening in your body. But I think if you breathe, you take the pressure off yourself, you spend some time with yourself and with your partner's fingers, you're going to feel more sensitivity in no time. Thanks, Alexa. This is from Carmen 23 in San Francisco. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show. I've learned so much and I appreciate it. I have a couple questions. How can you squirt and what is it? Also, how do you know you've orgasmed? Is it a feeling like having to pee, almost like a tickle? Also, I don't like when a man goes down on me because I feel that my vagina smells bad. I doubt they'll ever tell me that. There's nothing wrong with my vagina, no infections. I'm super clean. So I don't know what to do. How do I tell the guys that go down on me how to do it? What should they be doing with their mouths and tongues and what should they be touching? I do touch myself and masturbate, but obviously not with my mouth, so I don't know what to do. Okay, we have a lot of questions here. Let's start with telling them what to do. You say that you masturbate, which is amazing because that is the very first step in knowing your body. Because if you don't know what you like sexually, it can be impossible to explain to someone what you do want. Makes sense, right? They're not mind readers. They don't know. And your vagina is like a snowflake. Everyone is different. So every time someone's with you, they have to learn your body as well. So masturbate, use a mirror, do some self-exploration, and actually take a look at your body parts so you can explain to a partner what feels good. That's the way it's going to happen, okay? explore with your partners. Sounds like you're with partners who want to know. In fact, I only want to be with partners who really want to know. If there's a partner who is not interested in my clitoris, I'm not interested in them. So you could say, you know, right now I'm exploring this thing with touch. You know, look what happens here. I start to rub my pubic mound or my labia and look how it starts to swell a little bit. Maybe you could take your finger in circular motions. Let's try that. And you could even talk together like a play-by-play. You can share some information that you learned in this episode. A lot of couples listen to my show together. I just want to remind all of you that you are not in this alone. You do not have to be the one that is saving your relationship or trying to be the leader and figure out the sex for both of you. You're both in it together. It's like you're on a team. You're on a sex team and you're both on the team and you both want to win. That's who you want to be with, okay? So you don't do it all on your own. The taste aspect. Your vagina is fine. This is also in your head. But remember, they clean themselves. It's a beautiful part of you, your vagina, your vulva. Get familiar with it. And you know what? Listen, you can discuss with your partner as well and let them know that you get insecure, confused. You could even say, let me know if anything's ever off. All I can tell you is the facts. The facts are you are clean. You can take a shower beforehand, all those things, but our vaginas are fine. They are healthy. They are totally safe to lick and get into, okay? So most times we have to start loving our vulvas before anyone else will, but they can also help you come along on this journey. Now, how to know if you've orgasmed? Well, typically you're going to feel some tension, then you're going to feel a little bit of release, then this like euphoria, you'll feel a little calm and happy and relaxed. Your breath and your heart rate changes when you are aroused. So you'll start to feel maybe your face will flush, your breath will quicken, and you're going to feel your pelvic floor muscles spasm. Those are the muscles that are responsible for orgasm. So those are some of the signs, the physiological signs that you'll know that you've orgasmed. And yes, many times it feels like you have to pee, which is why I think a lot of vulva owners do not orgasm because they're afraid they're going to pee. And listen, if you do pee, so what? Throw a towel down, not a big deal. Wash the sheets. But I get it. It can feel a little bit uncomfortable at first. So I would just take some time, keep masturbating, figuring out your own orgasm. So when you do know and you're with a partner, you can explain to them like, oh, this is when the orgasm happens. Again, though, I love this with couples and mutual masturbation. It's also great to show each other what you both like. Okay, let's move into squirting. So squirting is, you know, essentially stimulating your G-spot or your G-area at the same time as clitoral stimulation. So your G-spot is next to your Skene's gland. So stimulating your Skene's gland, which is kind of internal, that's where the fluids come from, and your clitoral system can be the key to squirting. We did a great episode on it with Deborah Sundahl. It's called Squirting Secrets with Deborah Sundahl. Or you can check out our articles, How Do I Actually Start Squirting? But just know that it has to do with internal G-spot stimulation, either with a finger, a penis, or a toy. You know, it also really helps to already have a clitoral orgasm or to be aroused or stimulating both at the same time. You can also indirectly stimulate it over your pubic mound, which is the area with pubic hair, if you have pubic hair or had pubic hair, above your clitoris. That whole area, if you apply pressure to it, it will indirectly stimulate the G-spot as well. So really just takes practice and it takes finding that G-spot, which is about two-thirds inside your vaginal opening, come hither motion towards your belly button. But again, listen to the Deborah Sundahl episode because you will find out everything you need to know about squirting. We can also put it in the show notes. All right, Carmen, thank you so much for your question. So this is from Kelsey. Hi, Dr. Emily. My husband and I have been married for 14 years and he's never gone down on me. I've asked and he always says he just doesn't like it. It makes me feel self-conscious, like there's something wrong with me. Recently, we started listening to your show and we've been trying to communicate better. I asked him why he won't go down on me and he said he's scared he'll get HPV and that's the only reason why. This sounds like a really weird excuse to me. Can you help me? Okay, so 14 years in, I think this is time for one of those conversations outside the bedroom. It's sort of like a state of the union, but it's like the state of your sex life. And you can say to him, I want to grow together. I want to be great lovers to each other. Let's talk about our sex life. You can talk about some of the highlights, things that you both love about your sex life. You can talk about three things that are really great for you. You could talk about areas of growth. And you can tell them that I really enjoy oral sex. It's a really important part of my own eroticism and my own turn-ons. Is there something that we can do to make oral experience more comfortable for you so you can provide oral? I understand that he's worried about HPV, but you're married. You've been together for 14 years. You're having sex. You kiss. You do everything else. He might already have HPV. It's very, very common. But listen, it's already going to happen. It's not just this from isolated oral sex, in, you know, that he's going to get HPV. So that's actually not correct. And in the best possible way, I would share that with him and kind of get beneath it and say, okay, but if it's not HPV, let's talk about what else it might be, because maybe he had an earlier experience with oral sex where it wasn't pleasurable. Maybe something happened. Maybe he's not sure what he's doing. Like, you know, maybe he's got some trauma around oral that he just hasn't been able to tell you. I don't know. But I feel like it's your husband of 14 years, and if he understood how important it was for you, that he would find a way to do it. Now, remember, there's also dental dams, which, to be honest, a dental dam is like a saran wrap that goes over the labia and the vulva while you're performing oral. And I gotta say, it feels really, really good, because we talk about all those nerve endings, and when you put something over it, it stimulates the nerve endings. It gets kind of hot inside, like literally the temperature rises because you're using like this condom material over your vulva. So if that's his concern, I would get a dental dam. Or cut a condom in half until it lies flat, right? Like the size it goes over a vulva. So I would try some of that out and have a real talk about it. Remember, you've been together 14 years, so it might take a few conversations, and you just want to be curious and you want to be open and you don't want to be like judgmental, and you want to listen to what he says, even take notes. You could even like repeat back to him what he says. I have a great guide on my site, the 3 T's to communication, at sexwithemily.com. It's my free guide on the site that's really helpful for having any of these conversations about sex that are not easy to have, which is most of them. I also think a great exercise for both of you, Kelsey, would be to do our yes, no, maybe list. It's another free downloadable guide at sexwithemily.com. And after 14 years, I think it would be so great for you guys to do it together. It has all these sex acts. What are your yeses? What are your nos? What are your maybes? Everything's on there. Dirty talk, spanking, oral sex, anal sex. And you might find that there's some areas that you both have yeses to that you had no idea about. And it's going to help start the conversation so it's not just focused on oral. Listen, every couple is going to benefit from doing this list, because it helps facilitate the conversation. You don't have to come up with all the things on your own, and you're both going to learn what you're into, not only personally, but as a couple. It just gives you all these new ways to explore together, which is what I'm all about. All right. Best of luck to you, Kelsey. You got this. This is from Michael, 61 in Canada. Hey, Dr. Emily, I love your show and the sparkling excitement you bring to your listeners through your kind voice. I also seriously love giving and getting oral. However, I'm having a challenge that I'm not sure is unique to me. It's just my personal hangup. Or is this a common theme? So my wife and I enjoy great sex together, yet I'm having increasing trouble going down because of this. She wipes her bum from down between her legs back to front after a poop. Been doing it that way her whole life. What makes it worse, for me, her morning routine is to leap out of bed and go straight to the shower, towel off, then unload a big number two. Both of these combined habits are so very opposite to the way I manage hygiene, and I can't get past it. Who would ever want to go down on me if they believed I wipe from back to front, towards my junk? I know she loves receiving oral as much as I love giving, but the opportunities to catch her horny and clean are impossibly limited. I need some ideas from a female's point of view. I've tempted a few ways of gently communicating this with her, but she's not receiving the message. Please help. All right. I haven't heard this one before, Michael. I have not. I'm sure everyone's got their hangups, but just remember this. If you have a vulva, your urethra and your anus are living in tight quarters, which means you have the chances of spreading bacteria to your urethra, which can cause a UTI. The chances of you getting one are a lot higher if you spread the bacteria. So unless she has any physical limitations that are preventing her from doing so, just reach around behind your body, behind your back, and through your legs. So this position allows you to wipe your anus from front to back, ensuring that all feces and fecal matter is moving away from your urethra, saying towards the back. I'm going to assume she's about your age, maybe in her 50s or 60s. She has her entire life of going to the bathroom maybe once or twice a day, doing it one way. And you all know that changing a behavior pattern is not easy. Like, I try all the time to close cupboards in my kitchen. Like, I leave cupboards open. I've been my whole life. And then, like, close the cupboards, or take your shoes off, or, like, make sure that I don't speak with two hands all the time, just one hand when I'm speaking publicly. Like, I try to change my behaviors all the time. And it is so hard. I have post-it notes, you know, to change little behaviors. It shouldn't be that hard. This is a big one, because she's been doing it her whole life, okay? I'm just reinforcing to you that, like, literally twice a day for 50 years, this is what she does. It doesn't mean that it's right, but that's what she does. So you said to me that you tried to communicate with her gently, and it didn't work. So now I think we got to make it a little bit more direct and focused, but still gentle. I think the next time that you're hanging out, you're having a meal, maybe you're having a glass of wine, you say, babe, I got to talk to you about something. I want to talk about our sex life. I realize that we haven't talked about it a lot lately, or maybe you have, but let's talk about some things that we're really into and some things we want to change. Maybe you could say, like, what are the three most memorable times you had sex? And you can share that. Maybe you've got some other things you'd like to try more of. But you could also say, just bring it in and say, listen, I got to talk to you about something, and it's really uncomfortable, and I want you to know how much I love you, and I love your body, and I love sex, but I've noticed that when you go to the bathroom, you wipe from back to front. And I have a really strong aversion to this because I know that you can get infections that way. And I just heard something else on the news the other day. I was reading something. Like, you could let her know. Give her some of the facts. Like, it's really not healthy for our hygiene. And you can say, and I love going down on you. And I just know that it's not good for me to have any of that fecal matter in my mouth. It's not healthy because then I can't kiss you. I mean, you guys, this is straightforward sex. Like, if you're having anal sex, for example, you can't have a penis in your anus and go in your vagina. Like, you just can't. This is hygiene 101. And if you've been together and it's your wife, I just have to understand that she might feel uncomfortable. You might need to coddle her. She might get upset. I don't know how she deals with feedback like this. But it's very loving, and it has to do with her hygiene. And truly, there can be other infections that arise, because if you go down on her, you could get an infection from licking any fecal matter that could have gotten into her vagina. So it's, well, it's not pleasant, well, it's not a fun conversation, and it's not a sexy conversation, it's definitely one that needs to happen, giving her the facts about infection and about hygiene. So the compliment sandwich works really well here too, where you say, babe, I want to talk to you about, God, I love our years together. I really love making out with you. I love watching you orgasm. And then that's where you go to the middle part, where you say, and I've noticed that when you wipe, you go from back to front. I'm concerned about it. You could say all the things I just said. And then you can end it, the last part of the sandwiches. And I just want to continue to be amazing lovers to each other. I want to make you come three times from my mouth. You know, like, I can't wait to do more oral sex on you. I want to do oral sex on you every day. Let's try to deal with this hygiene part, shall we? So we can both keep doing this for many more years to come without infection. Let me know how that goes, Michael. We're here for you. This is from Nora 59 in Chicago. Hey, Dr. Emily, I'm a cisgendered hetero female, and I've never enjoyed receiving oral, but I'd like to. One thing that makes it even harder to enjoy is that my boyfriend's short beard feels like a Brillo pad. He enjoys giving, but I can only handle it for a short while, and my skin feels all scratched up. He uses a conditioner on his beard to make it softer, but it doesn't work. Any suggestions? Well, you could talk this through with your partner. You know, maybe he's going too close to you. He could use his tongue and maybe use some more hands, more fingers, more lubes. Also, he could use a dental dam, which is kind of like a condom, but it's made to go over the vulva, because then you won't get as scratchy. But beard burn is a real thing, and usually it's a certain length of the beard, if the beard grows a little bit more. But I love that he's conditioning it, but it can really, like, you can get beard burn, and it can be itchy and painful. So unless your partner's willing to shave, I would just try to work around it. Again, with the dental dam, you could also do some face sitting. You could sit on your partner's face, and then you could kind of control more where you are putting your body, right? Which is more of like a face kneeling, but you're in charge of the back and forth and the motions, and you can kind of lower yourself onto them and sort of maybe avoid the beard and be more focused on the tongue and his mouth. Because remember, it's all about the lips too. So sorry this is happening, because it doesn't feel good. So I say he grows his beard longer, or he shaves it, or he do some of these workarounds, okay? Great question, Nora. No one wants that. Let's work it out. Thanks for your question. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.